once was more like when we saw the finale. Came out of his apartment and he had seen Mawlana Yahya Sahib, the Sheikh's father, Mawlana Ilyas Abdullah's brother. And explained खुदा के नाम को चाहे कैसे ही बेतवज्जुही के साथ लिया जाए, असर किए बगैर नहीं रहता। द नेम ऑफ अल्लाह ताला, इवन इफ इट्स टेकन विदाउट द टाइप ऑफ कॉन्सेंट्रेशन दैट इज रिक्वायर्ड एंड डिजायर्ड, देन टू द नेम ऑफ अल्लाह ताला हैज इट्स इफेक्ट। Mawlana Gangohi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi himself, when he was in his advanced old age, someone asked him, how much zikr do you make daily? So he says, you're asking me now when I am old, advanced in age, now daily I make 124,000 zikr. This was a thing that our Akabir, Buzurgan al-Din, had emphasized. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi once asked the Shaykh Rahmatullahi, about the conditions in the madrasa, children, and the way they are inattentive towards sunnats. Whilst the namaz is going on and they are sipping tea, they don't have that concern and that fikr for takbir-e-ula. So Shaykh was, Hazrat Mawlana Mufti Shafi Sahib, was a bit affected, saw the behavior of the students, deterioration. They don't have that type of concern and that type of fikr that used to be at some time. Children said they had their mutala, had their takrar. A good part of the time is in the masjid. They're there in the masjid long before. So he didn't see this color in the students. He was hurt about it and he complained. So the Shaykh Hamtar explained, I advise you with having zikr-e-jahri, the loud zikr, and how it's done in a group form. One is a group form and one is chorus. He's not speaking about doing it in chorus, but doing it in a group. The reason why they encourage doing it in group is when a group of people are sitting together and making zikr, you'll find one person has some good quality in him. Maybe he has a greater quality of ikhlas. Someone has the love of Allah Ta'ala at heart. Someone has the spirit of sacrifice. And all are making zikr at one and the same time. So when all are making zikr at one and the same time, the good of this person's heart is reflecting onto my heart, and the good in my heart is reflecting onto the next person. So one is benefiting from the other. Yadullahi ala al-jama'a. And overall, they're making that zikr together, they get the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Hadith also explains it. When you remember me in a gathering, then I remember you in a gathering that is better than your gathering. In other words, the gathering of the Malaika. So that explained that the entire world will not come to an end as long as there is someone to say Allah, Allah. So your little madrasa what significance it has in comparison to the entire universe. The entire universe is not allowed to come to a termination point until there is someone saying La ilaha illallah, there is someone saying Allah, Allah. So if the entire universe can gain its continuity through Allah, then won't your madrasa get continuity? And someone asked this question, well, in the madrasas there is Quran Sharif being recited, there are hadith also being recited, and the Quran Sharif being the best form of zikr, nobody has any difference of opinion about it. So isn't that sufficient? If you say it's zikr, then the Quran is being recited, won't this now substitute everything else? The Shaykh answered, this is the work of a specialist. He will advise what medication to be administered at which situation. See, for instance, milk is the most comprehensive food, right? That is why this is the food that is given to the infant newborn child. It's enough for the child. It's got everything. Child doesn't require anything else. Mother's milk is quite sufficient for it. Why it's such a comprehensive, complete meal. Everything. All the nutrients, all the minerals, all the nourishment that is required is found in that. But if the child is not feeling well, diarrhea or something, for those days, the child will be stopped from that milk. Something else will give the child, though it is the most complete. So similar is our case. There is the sicknesses, spiritual sicknesses, and the various type of sicknesses that are within our hearts. And on account of these sicknesses, our hearts are not absorbing the good. The good is there, but it's not absorbing. You're hearing about a hadith now, the fazilat of La ilaha illallah, but our hearts are not taking to it. We listen to the fazail, namaz, Quran, zikr, etc., but our hearts are not taking to it. So the reason why it's not taking to it, it's on account of this weakness of the heart. And the weakness is created by the wrongs. Sometimes it is the wrong within us, and sometimes it is the wrong of the environment that affects us. Sometimes it's within us, and sometimes it's a wrong of the environment that affects us. So the zikr then acts like a medication. Medication comes to cleanse it, purify it, remove all the dirt, the filth, and the weaknesses that are there. It rectifies, it corrects. Now when it corrects it, so now the heart gets its true shape, its true potential, its true capacity. And then hadith is explained, now you want to practice it. And until you don't practice it, you feel uneasy. Right? You hear of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, and he's travelling over 1,000 kilometers just to return one single pen. In that zamana, that pen must have been a cheap thing. Piece of wood that is shaped, maybe a rand, 2 rands, but he travels over 1,000 kilometers to go and return that. Now what pushes him to do this? The urge to practice on the hadith, the urge to be cautious, be practicing in the hadith was so great that the thousands can go, but I mustn't compromise in one single teaching of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You hear of Mu'adh bin Gawi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, and he missed out one takbir-e-ula. And takbir-e-ula, what I understand is he didn't miss the rakat, but he just missed the takbir-e-ula, that is the first takbir when the imam says Allahu Akbar. He missed that out, and he mourned for a couple of days. after so many years I've missed out my takbir ula. So it wasn't compulsory, it wasn't faraz, it wasn't wajib. Then why did he mourn over this? Jisko maza aya ho, the person who's got the taste of it, he understands. You don't have the taste of it, so you don't understand, you don't appreciate. You say about taste, see, you know, you hear that hadith of wahi, bad'ul wahi ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then you hear of fatratul wahi, for some period there was a intermission in the coming down of the wahi. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very eager, very fond, and longing for that wahi. He's not meeting Jibreel alayhi salam. Some days are passing like this. Days upon days are passing. And Rasulullah is finding it extremely difficult. He goes up to the mountain and he wishes to throw himself from the mountain until a voice is told to him, a voice is announced to him that innaka la rasulullah haqqa, you are the true Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And he would find some solace and some comfort in these words. He would continue. Now this is on account of him having tasted this wahi and the seeing of Jibreel alayhi salam, right, and the meeting of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, the type of enjoyment he would experience at the time. So now what he was used to, he's not seeing it, he's not experiencing it any longer. So you can imagine now how he would have felt. Today I was just thinking, when it was in Tarabi or before Tarabi, that there was a period, 1970s, 80s, it was such a beautiful time. All the Buzurgan Adeen, Awliya, all the way around. You visit them, you talk to them, you meet them, make the khidmat. And now, those Buzurgan Adeen that you used to be accustomed to, you had been acquainted to, familiar with, all have left. Slowly and gradually they have left. Not that the world is void of Awliya. Allah Ta'ala will have Awliya all the time. So how dark the world has become after these awliya have gone. How empty and how tasteless it's gone. So you feel remorse. And I think I now began to feel a feeling of remorse. That was one period. It was such an enjoyable period. You go this side, you got some Buzurgan Adeen. Go that side, you got some Buzurgan Adeen. You want to go and meet them, you want to talk to them, sit with them in i'tikaf or something. You've got all of these Buzurgan Adeen. Such a zamana, like it was as though we were living in a different period in time. Ramadan comes, you go and spend some time in Dioban. Now you see Hazrat Mawlana Asad Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi. Then you go and spend some time in Saharanpur. You see all the Mawlana Ali Miah Sahab, Mawlana Abrar Sahab, Sheikh Ul Hadith Sahab, Mufti Sahab Rahmatullah, all of them are sitting there. Sheikh Yunus, everybody is there. And the buzurg that you know, all of them are sitting there. Then you come to Jalalabad, you see Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib. Now, just in one day, you can see everybody. It was such an excellent time. You think to yourself, at that time you were naive, very naive and very green. We couldn't appreciate them. You should think, hey, this time will never end. This beauty and this enjoyment will never come to an end. And then gradually, you see, all these entire caravan that we were so excited, the whole world was so illuminated, all had to leave. So we can't live in that remorse, can't live. The world has to continue. Obviously, then my mind began to work, and I began to think that these Buzurgan Adeen also may have thought the same way about their elders. Right? They may have thought in a similar way about their elders. As a Sheikh how much he must be thinking of his elders, Mawlana Madani Sahib, Mawlana Yahya Sahib, Hazrat Khalil Ahmad Sahib, Sahan Puri Rahmatullahi, Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi, Shaykh Ul-Hind Rahmatullahi, how much he must be thinking of them. So like we are thinking of these people, they must be also thinking about their elders and how they must be tolerating and withstanding all their separation and gap that is between them and these awliya-i kiram. So this is going to continue. So this is an enjoyment. It's an enjoyment. It's a feeling that comes to the heart. See? And that feelings can't be expressed, can't be explained. It's something that you have to go through. But it's something beyond our imagination, beyond the frame of explanation. Can't explain it. Nonetheless, Allah Ta'ala still grants these type of beautiful feelings, kayfiyat. It's not that these kayfiyat do not occur, they do occur, and they will occur also, they will continue. But generally these feelings come when there is an abundance of zikr done with sincerity. You have got the presence of Allah Ta'ala at heart, and you are making abundance of zikr all the time, with sincerity obviously. And you'll find some fraction of that feeling will come to you again. That is why in this day and time they emphasize on zikr. Zikr, and not associating with people unnecessarily. There's a need, business, or family ties, or for some dini reasons we associate. Otherwise, without that need, we don't associate. See that importance of zikr. Yeah? As though when you're sitting in zikr, you're sitting with Allah Ta'ala. Right? Ana jalisu man dhakarani. And when you're sitting with Allah Ta'ala, then everybody is in His presence. Think of the Shaykh or whoever, everybody is in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So in the wider picture, you're sitting with all these people that you are thinking of. Then bring that zikr in you. If you're sitting and making zikr, then you're sitting with all these people. I remember when we were sitting in Etikaf in Bangladesh, there was a Canadian brother sitting, he was resting next to me. So he used to say to me, sometimes when he makes zikr, then he feels as though the Shaykh Rahmatullah is passing his hand over his head. Okay? So you get these feelings. But the zikr must be constant, continuous, excessive. Try and do it. The masnoon duas that are supposed to be recited at the various occasions, do it. And these duas, do it with the heart, with feeling. Why don't you just say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Do it with a little bit of feeling. And see, now you'll find a whole change in you. In that reciting of that dua, you'll find a whole different feeling. You're saying Alhamdulillah, Rabbana Lakal Hamd, Namaz. I am thankful to you, praise due to you. What gifts you have favored me with. Beyond my comprehension, I can't even imagine what type of favors you have given me. So you are saying that Alhamdulillah with that frame of mind. One is just repeating those words. I know the meaning of it, now what else? And one is now you're born with Allah Ta'ala. Right? Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.